Well, so did Dr. Stuart Hoover.
USA Radio News.
President Trump arrived in Brussels today ahead of his meetings tomorrow and Thursday with NATO leaders. Before leaving Washington, D.C., the president struck a rather optimistic tone regarding getting a deal worked out.
NATO has not treated us fairly, but I think we'll work something out. We pay far too much, and they pay far too little. But we will work it out, and all countries will be happy.
We're learning more and more about President Trump's nominee for the Supreme Court of the United States, Brett Kavanaugh. USA Radio Network's legal analyst Fred Penny shares a few more nuggets about Kavanaugh.
Generally, he's always said he will uphold Roe v. Wade. He was generally against the Affordable Care Act when it came before him. He generally has kind of struck down some Clean Air Act regulations that were eventually overturned by the Supreme Court.
Check us out online at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-591-9426. That's 800-591-9426. 800-591-9426. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Despite the changes going on in the British government, President Trump is said to be looking forward to his visit to London on Friday. USA Radio Network's John Clemens has more.
President Trump is said to be looking forward to his working visit to London with Prime Minister Theresa May. First, it was David Davis stepping down as Britain's Brexit minister. Then Foreign Minister Boris Johnson resigned, replaced by Jeremy Hunt, who spoke about his new duties.
My principal job at a time of massive importance for our country is to stand foursquare behind the Prime Minister so that we can get through an agreement with the European Union based on what was agreed by the Cabinet last week.
I'm John Clemens.
Military officials say the U.S. Army will roll out a new and improved fitness test by October of 2020. Currently, the physical fitness test consists of 2 minutes of push-ups, 2 minutes of sit-ups, and a two-mile run. Sit-ups and push-ups are being scrapped for deadlifts and power throws and two other tests. Now, the two-mile run will stay. This is USA Radio News.
I'm Captain Obvious, and Hotels.com rewards me basically everywhere I stay. So why am I currently skipping stones with four locals and one grizzly bear outside this Riverside Lodge in Portland? Because Hotels.com lets me do me. And because, honestly, the bear just kind of joined in, and now we're afraid that if we stop, he'll get angry. He can smell our fear. Hotels.com. You do you and get rewarded.
All 12 boys from a youth soccer team and their coach were freed from a cave in Thailand today. Everyone had been trapped for 2 weeks. Dr. Mark Siegel now talks about the healing process that will need to begin for the boys.
They've got to get nutrition. They're going to get intravenous fluids. They're going to get slowly replenished. You can't just bomb the GI tract with regular food right away. So they're going to get brought back. They're going to check electrolytes, liver, kidney, oxygen. They had oxygen deprivation. They probably had too much carbon dioxide. They're going to give them oxygen. They're going to watch their lungs very quickly, carefully.
As the boys were rescued, Dr. Siegel also said there was one thing that was key.
And a key there is going to be the guides. I call them fear guides, people that are going to help them. That line where they're brought out by that line they can hold on to. You know, but while they're in the cave, there's the risk of infections. There's the risk of bats, birds, bacteria. All of these things they're going to look very carefully at the hospital. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to be fine.
There's still a lot of talk of a trade war between the United States and China. Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma talks about the way he believes we need to handle this whole situation.
So you take it the same way you take any kind of debt or any kind of other issue. Take your smallest issue first, get that resolved, and put all the effort on the second one and keep going in from there. If we're going to try to resolve all these trade issues that we have worldwide at this point, try to resolve the most straightforward ones first, whether we're with Mexico or with Canada or with South Korea, whoever it may be. I would think NAFTA would be one of the first ones. It's one of the first ones that was opened. It should be the closest one to actually getting resolved.
That audio courtesy of Fox Business. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Hey, this is Joe Peters with Real Estate Matters. We're going to go for a little recap of what's happened in the last month. I did an in-depth last week, so I'm just going to hit a highlight or two, and then we're going to get in a few talking points on real estate. Before we do that, let me play a few of our paid sponsors, and I'll be right back.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and Hunterd In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hunterd In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
So once again, this is Joe Peters, and we're going to get started by giving you the weather forecast. It's hot, and I think that probably sums it up, but let me give you a little more detail on that. We had a beautiful day on Saturday, if you remember, and each day since then has gotten a little bit warmer. We're sitting at 90 degrees right now. We're going to hit 94 as a peak. And we're going to be down to 69 overnight, which is good walking if you get up early enough. 86 tomorrow, 62 overnight, 84 the next day, 62 overnight, and then Friday, 87 or 66. So almost Groundhog Day, although not as hot as today. Let me give you a few more of these sponsored commercials, and we'll be right back to get you into our real estate subject matter.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
¿Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
So, it's Joe Peters. I'm going to give you a little about my background, and we're going to get started.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
So hello, it's Joe Peters, and we're going to get started now. I do a newsletter on a monthly basis. The first week of the month, I go over that newsletter in depth. In the beginning of the second week, which is now, today is the 10th, I believe, Tuesday. It's a little after 4 o'clock in Flemington, New Jersey, on 7/10/18. On this date, what I do is go over just the highlights and then get into some ancillary subject matters. First thing first, the newsletter is on my site. Go to jpeters.com. You'll find a button at the very top that says blogs, and under blogs it says market reports. Under that market report, you could find a Hunterdon County, a Somerset County, and a few variations. And you could also sign up for it and get it delivered in your email. So the newsletter talks about two things. The very first part is what's happening, and that's the results of the month. And, for example, last month in Hunterdon County, we sold 204 houses versus 200 the month before. It wasn't a bad month. We listed another 281, and we had a total of 902 houses on the market when we left. If you divide the 200 and 902, you get about 5 months' supply, and that tells us that we're pretty right on the money. It's not going up in general. It's not going down in general. But we need to look at your price point within your town and see what's happening. Somerset County had 429 sales. They had 1,595 available properties, divide one or the other. And they're more like 3 to 4 months supply. They're in a little bit better shape than we are. In general, what we're seeing is for this late in the year, when we typically go by July 4th, which just happened about 6 days ago, the market sort of stops. And what we're seeing so far, at least through July 10th, is the market isn't stopping. The reason it usually stops is it's too late to get kids in school. The reason it's going on, I believe, is that there's such a pent-up demand for the purchase of inventory that the people are still out there even if they don't get it in time to get the kids back in school. So I'm out showing houses every day. It's a very active market. I see a lot of inventory coming on every day, and I see a lot of sales going on, properties going under contract, properties being closed, new properties being listed. It's almost like it's March and it's July. It's good news. If you look at the things that are driving it, and we're going to go a few of those subject matters in more depth, but it's the economy. Forget the politics of it. Right now, we have record low unemployment, although it popped up a point or two last month. We're still at a very, very low unemployment, just around 4%. And in New Jersey, it's more like 4.4%, 4.5%. So New Jersey's not as good as the country, but compared to where we were a year ago, it's in fabulous shape. Secondly, the stock market, although it took about a 10% adjustment, which was anticipated, is little by little coming out of its doldrums, and you typically have the summer doldrums. If we take a look at what happened today, for example, we're sitting at a number 24.9. We're just about back to 25,000. We were at about 26.4 before it adjusted. We went all the way down to the high 23s, and now we're almost back to 25. So we've got people working. We've got stock market doing well, and I think one of the things about the people working that's important is that they're getting decent paying jobs. We're not putting on minimum wage jobs, although there's some that are minimum wage. Many of our jobs are college grad jobs and are coming out of us coming out of this recession, and we're in our 70-plus month of recovery. It's never gone more than somewhere in the 80-month category in the past. We see no recession in sight for at least the next 24 months, 18 to 24 anyway, and if then. So it couldn't be a better time. We've got decent economy, decent job market. We do have inventory, although it's tight, and we have people taking paradigm shifts. And by that I mean, instead of thinking the way they used to think, they're thinking a little bit newer. And the biggest paradigm shift we're seeing is instead of getting into single-family housing, we're seeing more and more people getting into rentals in luxury high-rises. And the reason for that is that they don't want the maintenance of a house. They're not finding that the house is once the tax haven that it once was, and it's not the investment haven where it once was. It used to be you could buy a house, and it would go up 7, 8, 10, 15% on good years. And it was like an ATM machine. You can go back every 2 or 3 years and take out a new second mortgage and have enough money to buy the new car, pay off the kids' education, buy a summer home. People aren't seeing that happen. So rather than buy that last home, which would be usually a trade-up, somebody in their mid-50s saying the kids are gone, why don't we buy that house we always wanted and enjoy it for the next 15 years and the kids could come back and enjoy it with us on the holidays and bring the grandchildren back. We're seeing them sit put, and because of them staying put and not trading up, it means a house isn't becoming available, and the next person below them can't find inventory, and the person below them and the person below them. Every time we sell a house, it triggers about 3 ever sales, either up or down. And right now, because we're staying put as midterm baby boomers, that would be in your 55 to 65 range, the older baby boomers are starting to and have already retired in a lot of instances, they're gone. They're either right-sizing or they're still in their house, but the people that would buy that one last house just simply aren't doing it, and we have a tight inventory as a result of it. So that's what's happening. Take a look at rising home prices, and it's sort of a 1-2 punch. We've got inventory rising. It's risen about 0.75 point since the first of the year. And we're talking about going another 0.5 point by the end of the year. If it merely goes up 1 point from 4% to 5%, we started the year right around 4, and right now we're about 4.75. So if we merely go up 1 point, you're going to lose about 9% of your buying power. So what that means is if you could afford a $500,000 house as of the first of the year's interest rates, you now can only afford a $455,000 house. But wait, as the commercial always says, there's more. At the same time, the popular priced houses are rising in prices because we don't have enough demand. And they've risen 5 or 6%. So you may have a 9% loss in buying power coupled with another 5 or 6% in prices being higher than they were the first of the year. And as a result of that, instead of getting a $455,000, where you could have bought a $500,000, you're now getting a $425,000. So that sort of makes the rush that we're seeing happen. And the rush is, let me get into the market and get my piece of the American dream before interest rates price me out of the market. And it's now interest rates combined with, in our popular price points, prices rising. You get above 550, 600, 100 in county, we're flat. You get above 750, we're probably seeing pressure on the prices. So that's what's happening in general. You go to Somerset County, the same thing's happening. It's just happening a notch higher because they get about 20% more. You get about $1 million in Somerset County, we're seeing pressure on prices. But we're seeing a very active market up until that $1 million. So rising home prices have many concerned that their average family will no longer be able to afford the most precious piece of the American dream, owning their own home. Now let's talk about what the American dream is. The American dream is having more when you left than when you came, and having more than your parents had. In other words, bettering yourself through your life. However, It's not just the price of the home that determines the affordability. The monthly cost of the home is determined by the price and the interest rates. We just talked about that. Today, mortgage rates are at about 4.75%. The average annual mortgage interest from 85 to 2000 was almost double that number. It was almost 9%, 8.92%. So we're at 4.75%. It was almost 9 all the way up to 2000. And when comparing affordability of the homeowner over the decades, we must also realize that incomes have increased as well. So there's a lot of factors here. People are making a little more money. Although I don't think you're seeing incomes increase on a steadily basis the way we saw happening in the 80s and 90s, but incomes are increasing, and that's called inflation. This is why most indexes use percentage of median income required to make monthly mortgage payments. Zillow recently released a report comparing the home affordability over the decades using this formula. The report resolved that though homes are less affordable this year than last year, they are more affordable today by 17% than they were in 85 to 2000. Additionally, homes are more affordable now than at the peak of the housing bubble in 2006. And here's a chart, and you can't see the chart. If you go on my site, this post is out there, and you just go up to my blogs and chronologically look down, you'll find this very article. What it's saying is in 1985 to 2000, the monthly mortgage payment was about 21% of your median income. Median income, not medium. Median income. In other words, there were as many people above that median income as there was below. So that's about where most people are buying their house. It's not an average, it's a median. And in 2006, we rose up to 25.4% from 21%. And that's where the bust happened. People just couldn't maintain that treadmill on their own. And in the first quarter of 2018, we're all the way back down to 17%. So we went from 21% to 25% to 17%. So you have more discretionary income. Once again, we're making a little more income. Once again, prices have adjusted throughout that period of time. But we use as a credit check, your mortgage payment should not be more than 30% of your gross. Some banks will give you 31, 32, but that's a round number. 30% of your gross. So if you earn $50,000, you took 30% of that, which would be $15,000. Divided it by 12, that's $1,250 a month at $50,000. So in order to afford a $25,000, you've got to have combined or individual income of $100,000. $2,500 requires $100,000 in income. Now, that's mortgage, interest, taxes, and any homeowners association. Doesn't blend into the fact that you've got to do some maintenance and you've got to do some utilities, but that's how the credit thing is. So if we're at 17% and they're using 30, there's a big gap between 17 and 30 that's called the affordability index. And the affordability index is in as good of shape as it's ever been. Monthly mortgage payments of the typical American home as a percentage of median income and we're now looking at interest rates versus years, but we're looking at if interest rates were 5%, we'd be at 19%. If they went to 21%, at 6% interest, we'd be at 21%. And at 7% interest, we'd be at 23%, getting dangerously high. I've seen other forecasts say that we could go to all the way up to 8 and change on interest rates and not lose 10% of our active buyers because that affordability factor is still there. You're making more money. The bottom line is though homes are less affordable today than they were just last year, they are still a great purchase while interest rates are below the 6% mark. So, why are interest rates going up? The real question is why were they so low to start with? The prior administration, and this is to a great extent the result of the Fed's thinking, not the administration's thinking, but they do have a interplay with each other. But let's say the Fed during the FIRE administration kept interest rates artificially low so that people could afford to buy houses. Because they knew if we didn't sell houses, in effect, the economy would stall, if not pull back. And as a result of that, what they did was they did what they called quantitative easing, which means they went out and bought mortgage-backed securities in bundles. They bought them by the truckloads. They were doing this for the last 2.5 years, not including the last 6 months. And it kept the quantitative easing, kept the mortgage rates low. It kept them somewhere between 3.5 and where they are right now. Well, it stopped. Let's say it stopped the first of the year, so 3.5 and 4. So when we got the new Fed and we got the new administration, we started to see within this administration and the associated Fed management that we eased the quantitative easing. And by that, we mean we're not buying as much mortgage-backed securities. So as a result of it, and as a result of the economy is so strong and that there being so much purchase power and that there being so much confidence in the economy, we're starting to see the interest rates creep up. So it's not happening by accident. It's happening on purpose. And it could go up a lot quicker if they started changing the prime rate and buying less and less of these mortgage-backed securities. But it's happening on purpose. We're seeing affordability is still there. Earning power is there because we're at the best unemployment we've been at in a long year, in a long time, almost 20 to 40 years, depending which number you look at. Even New Jersey's doing much better. So the Fed is pulling back and interest rates are going up. But at the same time the interest rates are going up, prices are going up. So you're getting that 1-2 effect of the interest rate could drop, go up a whole point this year. It might even go more than that the way things are going. It's only June and it's gone up 3/4. And prices have gone up around 5% on our popular price points. By that I mean under the 400K in Hunterdon County and under 500K in Somerset County. You've lost about 15% of your buying power. Okay, so you missed the top of the market as far as buying power. But it doesn't mean things aren't a good buy. They are still a good buy. That's what this article is saying. Until we get beyond 6%, it's still the right time to be out purchasing a house. Now, let's look at the tax consequences, just to talk that out for a little bit, because I think a lot of people still have what are the consequences of the new tax act on all of this. What I'm reading is that you would have to earn $400,000. I'm not saying some of us don't earn $400,000. I will say I don't, and I would question that many of you do, but some of us do. Some of us earn, because we're highly skilled, $400,000 or more a year as a single individual and own a $1 million home. You get into that bracket, these tax things, the SALT, the interest deduction going away, all the things that the saber rattling has been, that the tax act isn't really what it is, does affect that top, I would say, somewhere in the top 1% of our earners in Hunterdon and Somerset County. And we're the most two affluent counties in the whole nation. So we do have people that are up there. We don't have a lot. If we were to quantify how many we have up there, it's less than 1% in each county. And I would say there's much more in Somerset County because we sell a lot more houses over $1 million there than we do in Hunterdon County by like a 20-to-1 factor. So closer you get to New York, the more people are earning really good money, and this might affect them. So if it doesn't affect them, then what is it doing to the market? What I will tell you, it's doing absolutely nothing to the market other than that top 1%. What's happening is we're selling more houses in the upper end because there simply is more inventory up there and people are looking around and really getting some buys because, you know, selling a house is usually a life event. It's a job transfer. It's a divorce. It's the kids have gone. It's I've got more kids. I need a bigger place. We're getting ready to retire. We're right-sizing. Some of those people just need to sell, and people are out there finding houses that used to be $1.1 million selling in the eights and nines right now. And it's a steal, or at least it looks like it's a steal. I think that's sustaining the higher end because the luxury end of the market is picking up just a little because there's a lot of inventory and a lot of deals to choose from. If you move down a notch and in Hunterdon County, let's say between a 5 and a 750 mark, you're at best holding your own. You're not going up, not going down in price. And I think even over 750, you're not seeing anything going up. We're just seeing them starting to sell, not to the point where prices are going up yet. You get below 400,000 in Hunterdon County, it's an active market. The inventory goes the day it comes on. And, in effect, we're getting multiple offers, and that's what's leading to the price increases. So it depends where you're at. But 75% of our business in Hunterdon County is under $500,000. And probably 72% of our business in Somerset County is under $500,000. And the later in the year you get, the higher some of the prices get because the person who sold them that $400,000 is now buying a $600,000. And that person that sold them the $600,000 is now buying an $800,000. So we get some higher end purchases. But when a year breaks out, and you can almost chart this, the price of the average sale goes up month by month to the point where we're at right now. We're seeing the prices at an all-time high for the year. We're somewhere in the 390,000 level on sales in Hunterdon County, and in Somerset County we're about 20% higher than that. I'm just looking at the numbers to verify it. Our average price point in Somerset County last month was 486, and it was 390, 400 here in Hunterdon County. But if we look at that number again in a month or two, we're going to see that they've creeped up a little because these people are now buying more expensive houses. So that's happening between inventory and affordability and inflation and jobs. But what we're seeing is another phenomenon, and this is really, really interesting. Northeastern New Jersey and Hudson County in particular continue to drive the state's small but significant population growth. New estimates from the U.S. Census Bureau show. The municipal population figures released by the census offices show a continuation of recent trends of people, especially millennials, settling in the state's more urban areas, fueling the housing population growth in cities, towns, and North Jersey, especially those close to New York City. What else is new? This has been happening since ever, but it sort of went away up until about 5 years ago, and now it's resumed because the jobs are in New York. And when I say the jobs are in New York, let me just give you an example. The average job in Hunterdon County is probably paying $20 an hour. Now, we've got school teachers and hospital people and executives making more than that. But the average starting salary or hourly rate in Hunterdon County is about $20 an hour. If you went to a college and got a four-year degree, you're going to probably look more like $35, $40 an hour, which is the expected wage for that. And in order to get that, you're going to go to New York because we just don't have jobs here in any amount that pay that kind of money. And as a result, you're probably going to live closer to New York because I come all the way back to Hunterdon County. So at the same time, even some of the boomers are abandoning the farthest suburbs in which they had flocked, starting their families, drawn by cheap housing and open space, leaving counties like Sussex, Salem, and with fewer residents in 2010. Hunterdon County has been dropping. We've been dropping about 1.5% the last 3 years. And last year, for the very first time, we had more deaths than we had births in Hunterdon County. So it's dropping. We're not seeing the same thing in Somerset County. It's just not growing as fast as it once was. The state's more urban counties are generally faring much better than ex-urban ones, as has been the case since the Great Recession of 2008. New Jersey's future executive director, said recently discussing the population trends by county. This is further evidence that a move to more compact, walkable places, existing infrastructure, and vibrant downtowns. These places are reaping the benefits of accelerated economic growth, and counties that are helping support this trend are benefiting as well. So let me tell you, I told this story last week or the week before. We were in New Brunswick on business. New Brunswick is a town that has come back and is still coming back, and it because it has a couple of large-scale businesses and some really fine places to eat, is doing okay for itself. Still has its poor sections and several ethnic sections, but it's coming back. We saw a building for rent. It was an apartment complex, brand new building, and the person we were talking to says, stop in and take a look at that. So he walked us over there. I got to tell you, it was a rude awakening. We went in, they had 800 to 1,200 square foot apartments, all for rent, anywhere from $1,800 to $3,000, maybe a little over for the bigger ones. It had in the lobby a 24-hour gym. It had in the lobby a gourmet kitchen that you could either rent or have a food party at. It had in the lobby where you got your mail a leaderboard that told you the next train to New York leaves in 6 minutes and the next one coming from New York will be here in 8 minutes. It told you that the average walk time to the train station was 6 minutes for six blocks, and it told you that an Uber cab was also ready within 2 minutes. People had a 24-hour gym. People had 24-hour access to one-on-one personal trainers if needed. They had a pool on a ceiling. They could walk just about anywhere. It was adjacent to a parking garage, and although you paid for the parking places, you could have up to two cars in that garage. This is what millennials are looking for. This is what millennials are flocking to. This is what is being built as we get closer and closer to New York. And as a result, this is what's pulling our population growth out of Hunterdon County and to some extent Somerset County. Somerset County is a little bit closer, so it's not getting hit as hard. People want to get off the train, walk home, maybe stop and have something to eat on the way home, or at least pick up a loaf of bread and walk home and prepare a dinner, do or whatever, get up in the morning, go past the Starbucks on the way, and get back on the train. They don't want to drive a minivan 10 miles from the train station, if you've got one, maybe 20 miles, depending on the county. They don't necessarily want to even own a car anymore. I'm hearing more and more instances where the millennials only need a car for weekends, and when that's the case, rather than buy one, they just go rent one. They either Uber where they're going, or they rent a car by the day. There's a whole bunch of places now that you, as long as you subscribe to their service, you could just pick up a car, put your credit card in, and bring it back whenever you're done, and you sort of pay by the hour for the use you have the car. It's almost what a lease was to buying a car. Why buy the whole thing when you only need 20% of it and you're going to give it back? So why not pay a lot less than owning it? And when you look at real estate values, because Marilyn and I are going through the same thought process, and we're in our late 60s, early 70s, we're saying, do we really need to own at this point in time? Or would a more prudent thing be to leave the money invested where it's at, and instead of pulling out 20% for a down payment and putting maybe $100,000 down on a $500,000 property, maybe what we do is pay a little bit more money in rent and get into a luxury high-rise rental, no maintenance outside. You pull into the basement, you got a parking spot or two in the basement, you got a shopping cart or a hotel baggage cart to take your stuff up to your room, and it's like walking through the Hilton. It's a different way of looking at things. I think most of our folks that are our age would probably say, no, that's not what I want. We're not so sure it isn't what we want. We're still analyzing what the options are. But renting instead of buying is becoming one. And it's becoming one to such an extent that three quarters of all the building in New Jersey last year, three-quarters of all the building in New Jersey last year was for rental-only high-rise construction. I'm going to let that sink in. One out of four people that bought last year bought a single-family house. Three out of four decided to rent instead. So our rental, and this happened during the recession, went from 73% ownership down to 63%. It bounced back up to 64 last year. I think as you look forward, you're going to see the rental becoming a larger and larger share of where people live versus actual home ownership. Now, tell me that isn't a paradigm shift, because I do about three or four talks a month with various groups, and I point like this and say, the millennials are going this way. They're going towards New York. And I point like this, and I say, and the seniors are going this way. They're going towards Pennsylvania or even Delaware. And the prices are going this way, especially at the high end, because there's less and less demand for the larger houses. So I argue, and it may be proven wrong, but from what I'm seeing, is it's become tougher and tougher to sell those larger scale houses. It's already become tougher than it was a year or two ago. And I think the progress will continue, and it will be more and more in many people's favor just to rent rather than own. I'll give you another good example. It's a paradigm shift. It means you got to think differently. I mean, we grew up thinking, when I was a kid, and that's a long time ago, we grew up thinking if it was made in Japan, it was junk. And then somewhere around 30 years ago, it was a paradigm shift that Japan stood for quality. Japanese made goods today, like the luxury cars and computers and technology. So we're looking at the same thing differently. I think we're starting to look at where we live and why we live there a lot differently. And I think as you might want to do in the stock market, when you own a house, you're probably going to want to understand what your exit strategy is with that house. Most people know when to buy a stock, when it's low. None of us ever seem to really get there when it's absolutely the lowest. But you're looking at return on investment, you're looking at growth. But you try to buy a stock when it's low. But many, many, many of us make the mistake of not having an exit strategy. So the stock peaks, it starts to come down, it'll go back up, comes down, it'll go back up. And before you know it, it's back to where you bought it. Where if you sold it at the peak with a decent exit strategy and reinvested that money, you'd now own two stocks, hopefully at a low, heading up, instead of one stock heading back to where you bought it. Housing's not so different. I'm not saying we're not going to own houses going forward. I'm saying we're going to own less houses going forward because people are starting to think of houses as A, not the great investment that they once were, and B, that the rentals are looking pretty attractive. They're a little more expensive than a housing if you bought a house, but the tax advantage has just about disappeared because your minimum deduction doubled. And for anybody buying a house under $400,000, there's probably no incentive to buy a house for taxes other than for the appreciation. And if you own a house, yeah, you get to live where you want and do what you want, sell it when you want, leave on your own schedule. When you rent a place, you got to follow some rules, and you may not live exactly where you want. For example, we're probably not thinking of moving to downtown New Brunswick, although it looks like it's coming in the right direction. But we might move to a place in Clinton Township or Clinton itself or Flemington that's got luxury high-rises because we're in the county we want to be in. We just haven't found the right housing. So that paradigm shift, that thinking that made in Japan used to mean junk, now made in Japan means quality goods. Buying a house is the only way to go, where today buying a house isn't what it once was. Maybe renting a house is just as attractive. And this is where we picked up on it. We have a timeshare in the Keys. We only own a couple of weeks. We go down, if we want more than that, we rent another week. But we decided, because we were once thinking about buying a place in the Keys, three-quarters of these places are vacant. Why do I have to buy something? I can rent it at a penny at options that are cheaper than owning it and paying maintenance on it. And then we reapplied that thinking to where we live here in Hunterdon County. And in 2009, right after the recession kicked in, we sold our mega mansion because we saw the prices dropping. We decided to rent for a year. Here it is, 2018. It's 9 years later. I'm still renting. Now, as a realtor, I can find rentals easier than somebody on the street because from word of mouth, I could, you know, a lot of times get an earful of something coming on the market. But rentals do cost a little more than owning it on a month-to-month basis. You don't get any tax incentive. On a home, you may not be getting any tax incentive anymore anyway. And the one minus on a rental, which would go away in a luxury high-rise, is that let's say you're renting a single-family townhouse. You're at the landlord's discretion of when you have to leave. Yeah, you may have a 2 or 3 year lease, but he doesn't have to release it to you at the end of that 2 or 3 years. Where if you were in a luxury rental, you could write into your contract that as long as your payments are current and there's no massive change in the business direction, you can have a right to renew your lease. Doesn't make it go away altogether, but it makes the fear of having to get out on somebody else's schedule a lot less. Let's go on to the next subject. 3 out of 5 municipalities with the greatest increase in population between 2014 and 17 were Hudson County, led by Harrison, home of soccer's Red Bulls and a PATH station where the trains to New York City and Newark. Harrison added more than 4,100 residents between 2010 census and last July. After dropping 2,000 in 2010 population in a 1.3 square mile, nestled in a crook of the Passaic River, has risen by more than 30% this decade and driven construction near the PATH station in Harrison. It has attracted the millennials looking for an affordable place to live in a compact community that's not too far from New York City, less than 30 minutes by PATH train. Today, the population of the town is estimated at 17,643. That is a mouthful. Behind Harrison and municipalities, with the largest population increase since 2014, are Weehawken in Hudson County, Woodridge in Bergen, and Mount Arlington and Morris. On average, New Jersey's population grew less than 1% between 2014 and 2017, and 2.4% since 2010. But the towns that are gaining are the towns that are in the half-hour commute to New York, or shorter. Now, where are the losers at? The three biggest losers are all communities that suffer major damage due to 2012 Superstorm Sandy. Maurice River Township in Cumberland County, Minnelaken, Ocean County, and Union Beach in Monmouth. Except for a few other suburban municipalities, the communities are among the 30 of the most that lost most of its population, the most population other than Sussex and Salem County. For instance, the number of residents, both Salem and Stanhope and Sussex, declined by more than 7%. So some people got hurt. Urban areas have also benefited from continued influx of immigrants who largely settle in places where housing costs are cheaper and jobs are close by, and immigrant neighborhoods are already well established. In Ocean County, they saw a population bump of 9,000 people due to the relocating between 2010 and 2017. It's benefited from both baby boomers and age-restricted communities for older people and immigration of Jews into Lakewood. It's just an example. There are certain spots where we're seeing population growth, and a lot of it is due to ethnicity. Elsewhere, large numbers of immigrants moving in made up the numbers of most people moving out. Bergen County, for example, had the largest increase of net migration of 27,000 new residents, resulting in 41,680 immigrants moving in, outnumbering the 14,000 who left. Hudson County snagged the most immigrants, 74,640 But since 64,000 have moved out of the county between 2017, leaving Hudson with a net increase of 10,000 due to migration. While Jersey City population rose faster than Newark's, 9.3% versus 2.9%, the city still needs to add almost 15,000 more people to surpass the Newark as the state's largest city. Newark's population, which has been dropping for decades, is back on the rise and has reached 285,154. Newark, too, is an area that we're seeing a really good, really interesting commute to New York. You can, on PATH or on Amtrak, New Jersey Transit, whatever the railroad line is that you get on, get into New York in 12 to 15 minutes. You might take another 15 minutes to get on the train. So you have a half-hour commute to New York. Now, if you have Rand, you may have another 15 minutes. So you have 45 minutes end-to-end. That's what people are looking for. If you live in Hunterdon County and try to do the same thing, you'll still have the 15 minutes on the other end. You're still going to have the 12 minutes to, or 15 between Newark and New York. But to get from here to Newark is probably going to take you another 45 minutes. So you're probably adding a good half hour to 45 minutes onto your commute. People don't want it. They once wanted it. They once didn't mind it. I got to tell you, I took the train for 23 years into New York City. It was a great time to catch a nap. It was a great time to go through the paperwork, the bills, the whatever I was doing at work. Now with computers, you can have a hotspot, you can be on the internet. It's very relaxing and productive time. People simply don't want to do it anymore. We're going to a European lifestyle. And I heard one of the speakers that I pay to attend his seminars say this in the last 6 months. He said, take Paris, take London, take Munich, take any major city in Europe. Get in a car and drive 15 miles. And you know what you're going to see? Cow pastures, horse pastures, farms. Because nobody in Europe lives that far from the city. You get in the car and leave New York City, and you can drive 45 to 60 miles before you really get into the bucolic nature like Western Somerset County and all of Hunterdon County. People are starting to realize that, and they used to say they drove till they could afford it, so they drive all the way to Hunterdon County. And some people say, well, that's still too expensive, so they drive to Warren or even to Pennsylvania, and then they pay it back a little each day. And some people found work halfway back. I mean, if you think about what happens, most of the people working in Hunterdon County are probably coming from Pennsylvania. And most of the people in Somerset County are probably coming somewhat from Pennsylvania and Hunterdon County. And if you get into Middlesex County and Passaic and Morris, most of those people are probably coming from Hunterdon and Somerset. People move to the east to work because there's better prices. People going all the way to New York City, I saw the statistics for Hunterdon County 2 years ago. It was less than 4% of our population goes all the way to New York City. In Somerset County, it's more like 7% of the population. In every county, you get closer to population percent increases. But where am I coming to at this point? We're back to a paradigm shift. We're back to, we used to think of Japanese goods as junk, and now we're thinking of them as fine goods because things have changed. We're changing from thinking an hour and a quarter commute to get to New York to work is fine because everybody does it, to there's better ways. I could live within a half hour of New York, save 45 minutes or at least a half hour each way, and have more time with the family and less of a commute. We're getting into that European mindset of living closer to the cities, living where we have restaurants and coffee shops surrounding us, where we have Starbucks, where we have train stations in town. And when you look at Hunterdon County, you're not seeing that. When you look at Western Somerset County, you're not seeing that. You get to Somerville, you're starting to see it. You're starting to see high rises go up, and you're seeing that I can make it from Somerville to Newark in about 30 minutes, and Newark in for another 12, 15, so it's a 45-minute commute on train. That's about as far as people want to go. I used to say, and I've been doing this now for 15 years full-time, I've been working out of Hunterdon County all of that time, but half of my business has always been in Somerset County, that in effect, people used to come to Route 31 plus a mile or two, and it's as far as they wanted to go. That was the magic line. When you get into Union County, Union Township, I should say, and Franklin Township, and then to Alexandria, and then to Holland. Holland's almost like another country, even though it's got the name of another country. It's one of our townships. People didn't, back then, want to go that far, and it was always harder to sell a house, and you always got less for them. Now, with this new thinking, with this new paradigm change, we're seeing people come to the end of mass transportation and stopping. And that's on the other side of 287. Even Somerset County is suffering on the western side from this paradigm change or this change in thinking. 287 is about as far as people want to go. And 287, exit 17 is Route 31. Exit 30 is 287. On Route 78 is 13 miles further from here. We're 13 miles, and once again, I said a mile or two. So we're roughly 15 miles too far. Still got people coming here. I transport in or inbound about a half a dozen families a year into the Hunterdon and or Somerset County area. And what I'm seeing is that the people coming here are looking for quality of life. They're looking for what Marilyn and I wanted when we came here, a nice bucolic country style of life. And we don't have to go to New York. I worked out of Newark Airport. I got on a plane every morning. Marilyn worked for Rutgers in New Brunswick, which was about a half-hour commute on a good day. And we made that work. People aren't thinking that anymore. If they're going to work in New York, they're going to live in Jersey City or Hoboken. My name is Joe Peters. I hope this has been informative to you. I'm going to play my intro one more time, and I'll be back next week. Thank you very much.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
USA Radio News.
The Trump administration has a plan ready to send billions of aid to farmers who have been caught in the crossfire between President Trump's trade disputes with China and the United States. Meanwhile, Republican Senator Jody Arntz is talking to farmers in Iowa.
We have seen that America's farmers and ranchers are being caught in the crosshairs. And what Iowa farmers, what I've heard from them, is they would rather see trade, not aid.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions was delivering a speech today to high school students at the Turning Point USA High School Leadership Summit in Washington, D.C.
Rather than molding a generation of mature, well-informed adults, some schools are doing everything they can to create a generation of sanctimonious, sensitive, supercilious snowflakes. We're not going to have it.
The summit does run through Thursday, and President Trump will be speaking as well. This is USA Radio News.
Okay, so the big question for any decision you're going to make, is this actually going to work? Well, if you've heard about MediShare, which is a brilliant way of sharing healthcare costs, you may have wondered that. Does it work? Well, so did Dr. Stuart Hoover, who initially joined to save a lot of money. The typical family saves about $500 a month. Stuart saved even more.
When we first joined
MediShare, we were immediately going from a little over $1,600 a month down to $460 basically a month.
So that's wonderful, but then his wife needed emergency surgery and the bills added up to $160,000.
So we were seeing the bills coming in, and then the bills were being paid. Portions were being shared, and the end result of this is this bill was taken care of.
Yes, MediShare works, and it's so easy to get your questions answered too, so why not? You can call right now, 833-39-BIBLE. That's 833-39-BIBLE, 833-39-BIBLE.
A top Republican leader says Congress shouldn't be rolling out the red carpet for Russia's president when he visits Washington this fall. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has more.
Republican House Speaker Paul Ryan says he's okay with leaders of powerful nations sitting down and talking with President Trump. And in the case of the Russian leader,
if the message is stop meddling in our country, stop violating our sovereignty, then I support that. But it's the message that counts.
But Ryan said under no circumstances will Russia's Vladimir Putin be invited to address a joint session of Congress.
We will certainly not be giving him an invitation to do a joint session. That's something we reserve for allies.
North Korea appears to be headed towards dismantling key facilities at its main satellite launch point in a step toward